We are now going to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Canto 5, entitled The Creative Impetus, Chapter Number 8, A Description of the Character of Bharata Maharaj, today's verse number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today's prose verse is very long, so the authorities have decided not to put it on the board. I will read the Sanskrit verse, and then we will respond the translation. That is the instruction I have been given. Aho bata ayam harina kunaka kripana ishvara rata charana pari brahmana rayina swagana sarit bandubhya parivarjita sharanam chamma upasadita mam eva Mata Pitaro, Bratri Gyatin, Yautukam, Cha Eva Upeyaya, Na Anyam, Kanchana Veda, Mayi Ati Vrishabda, Cha Ata Eva, Maya Mat Parayanasya, Poshana Palana Prinana Lalanam, Anasuyuna, Anushteyam Sharanya Upeksha Dosha Vidusha. Please repeat the translation. The great King Maharaj Bharat began to think, alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time, an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now lost its relatives and friends and has taken shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me, as I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious and think that for the deer, my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, gratify, and fondle it. When it has taken shelter with me, how can I neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who has taken shelter cannot be neglected. That would be a great fault. Thank you for responding so nicely. Now we will hear the Bhaktivedanta purport, the emotional ecstasy of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic toward all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of the suffering of the people in general. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls, and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharata Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's downfall. If one is actually sympathetic to fallen, suffering humanity, he should try to elevate people from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer was concerned, Bharata Maharaj became very sympathetic, but he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness, because, after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharata Maharaj to sacrifice all his regulative principles simply to take care of an animal. The principles enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yang hi na vyatayant yete purushang purusharshava, from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 15. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness if we ourselves follow the rules and regulations. If we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with the bodily comforts of others, we will fall into a dangerous position. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari hare nama hare nama hare nama eva kivulam kulo nastyeva 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 gatiranyatha. Prabhupada is acting right here as our Shiksha Guru. Prabhupada may not be your Diksha Guru, but for ISKCON, he is everyone's grand Shiksha Guru. So he is advising us, warning us. There are some very heavy points here in today's verse and purport. Already, we're in the fifth canto. So topics are going to be a little more advanced, perhaps a little more complicated. So Bharata Maharaj is displaying to us that even you can be very, very highly situated in spiritual life and still fall into Maya. We should never underestimate the power of the illusory energy. And also, this sequence is showing us how powerful is the mind. And also, we are conditioned souls. We have four inherent defects. One of those defects, cheating propensity. And the mind is very expert at cheating us. If you look from the mundane vision, it would seem, Bharat, he's great. This pizza group would applaud Bharat. Let's see. Bharat is so wonderful. Yes, from the material angle of vision, it could be seen that Bharata is sacrificing everything for the poor little deer. But from the vision of Bhakti Vedanta, from the vision of knowledge, absolute knowledge mixed with devotion, this is Maya. This is going to bring him down. This is going to lead him to take next birth as a deer. Because we learn from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever your mentality is at the time of death, that is going to determine your next life. We will see in this chapter, at the time of death, he's thinking of the deer, and he takes his next birth as a deer. But because of his great advancement in Krishna consciousness, he gets a special blessing from Krishna. Yes, he had to take one birth as a deer, but in his deer body, he knew exactly what is going on. And the body of a deer, he knew that he blew it, that he had fallen. He condemned himself. What a fool. I was this close. It is described that Bharata Maharaj, practically on the threshold of spiritual perfection, it was so close. Sometimes in a horse race, they have to use a special camera to determine which nose of the horse won the race because it's so close. Or sometimes in other sporting events, they mark the particular ball and they have to measure exactly. And if it's not enough, you don't win the game. So he was this close. He was so close. But close, what we used to say, no cigar, we used to say, before coming to Krishna consciousness. So we have to be very, very strict. We have to be very diligent. And we can never think that I can do whatever I like. My mind can think whatever it likes. No. At every moment, we have to be guided. Guru, sadhu, shastra. Not I, me, mine. A conditioned soul, what is his mind thinking? I, me, mine. That's the constant meditation of a conditioned soul. I, me, prove to be abject failure. We will become attached to something. So the question becomes, who to become attached to? And we should become attached to Krishna and Krishna's service. Now, in reading today's verse and purport, I'm reminded of situations. Perhaps you have gone through it, and certainly in the history of our ISKCON, the short history, because our movement only started in 1966, relatively speaking. It's a very short compared to so many other things. We're new kids on the block. But in our short history, we have seen sometimes big advanced devotees in ISKCON. They give up hearing and chanting, I have so much service. I have seen this. I have seen it here, in this temple. Previous, you could say, lifetimes, regimes. That, Prabhu, I have so much service, no time to hear and chant. Sometimes devotees, especially when they switch from brahmachari to grihastha, then it gets in their brain. Oh, I spent so much time in the movement. Now I have to maintain wife and children. I have to get job. I have to make up for lost time. So therefore, we see in many instances, they enter that grihastha ashram, but they give up hearing and chanting. And they tell themselves, okay, I'm going to spend maybe a year or two, get my act together, and then, you know, just, I'll be back, Prabhu. I'll be there. But then it turns into 10 years and they haven't picked up the bead bag. It happens. We are so very weak and fragile. And we like to think, I'm fixed up, Prabhu. What are you talking about, man? I'm fixed up. But you will find out, if you leave the association of devotees and you give up hearing and chanting, Punara Mushika Bhava, again become not a mouse, again become a rat. Because sometimes a mouse can be very cutey-cutey, but nobody thinks a rat is cute. Again become a rat. The material energy is unforgiving. She's not nice. We all know, if a young child touches the flame, it's not the material energy says, oh, this is an innocent child. She gets burned, irregardless. So if we flaunt, if we flirt with Maya, she is not forgiving. You may think, oh, I've been a devotee for so many years, I can handle the material energy. She will slap you down. And she means business. And she is so unforgiving. We have to be very, very careful. Mostly at this moment, I'm preaching to myself right now, not to you. I'm preaching to myself that we can never flirt with the material energy and think, I can make some compromise. No. We have an expression, winner takes all, and Maya always wins. Krishna says it. My energy is insurmountable. Only one way. Christians also say, one way. We say, yes, one way. Surrender to Krishna. That's the only way. As soon as I do not surrender to Krishna, or another way, to the degree I'm not surrendered to Krishna. Because we all like to think, well, I surrendered. You know, I got my name. I surrendered. Not good enough. I shouldn't think, well, I got my name. You know, I got my thread. I surrendered. No. We read in the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, this nice statement of his in first canto. He was always consciously surrendered. Just like every day we get up and we chant the holy name on japa beads. And I don't know about you, but every day that first hare is not so easy. It's the same every day. It's a struggle. Because we're so much influenced by the modes of nature. That's why we have to chant as soon as possible. Otherwise, the modes will infect you. I remember years ago reading in that book, Archana Paddhati, how the pujari is trained. As soon as the pujari gets up, he chants the name of the deity that he's serving. Jai Rukmini Dorkas, as soon as getting out of bed. Or we get up out of bed, Hare Krishna. Because the longer we wait to begin hearing and chanting, the modes are just coming in. She's not nice. The modes of nature are very cruel. Stringent laws of material nature, Prabhupada writes, over and over again. Stringent. What does stringent mean? Stringent means choking, suffering, burning. I must become very, very serious. In fact, in the Nectar of Instruction, when Prabhupada is explaining that word, utsaha, enthusiasm, Prabhupada is saying, one must be enthusiastic to follow the regulative principles. You cannot follow the regulative principles and not be enthusiastic. Yeah, I'll, you know, sure. A little illicit sex is okay, Prabhu. Yeah, I'm a householder, you know, what's a little? No. How about a little meat eating? How about a little gambling? Prabhu, how about a little intoxication? No. One must be very vigilant, very strict. You must be enthusiastic to follow the regulative principles. And especially, I must be enthusiastic for the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Many, many, many years ago, someone was giving a class here in New Dwarka, and he gave a very nice explanation, and it stuck with me. There's no plateau in Krishna consciousness. You're either going up or going down. You're either making advancement to Krishna, or you're slipping, falling down into Maya. There's no in-between state. No. There's nothing static. And I was saying before, the way I like it, to the degree I'm not surrendered to Krishna, Maya has got me. To the degree I'm not surrendered. So I have to introspect. Where is Maya in my life? I shouldn't fool myself. Bharata Maharaj is fooling himself. Over-intelligent. Convincing. He even realizes. He says here. What is he? He says it. That even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, he can see it. But still, he's going along with it. Still he's going, he can see it. Maya is so powerful. And the mind, we cheat ourselves. And we make excuses. And we think, it's okay. It's okay. Prabhu, why are you being so heavy, Prabhu? Why are you so negative? We get this. I get this. Prabhu, why are you so heavy? Maybe it's because you're from New York. I know you New Yorkers are heavy. No! The problem is, and Prabhupada even said it, the problem with us, we're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Did he say it like that, Archita? He pointed that out to us. Prabhupada, when coming and making the new disciples, you're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. But the way the matrix is set up, you're allowed to go on with your nonsense for some time. But eventually, material nature slaps you down. And if you're fortunate, you realize, what an idiot, what an ass, what a fool I have been. And then if we're really fortunate, we get the association of a nice devotee. And that nice devotee encourages us. Prabhu, come on. Pick yourself up. I have a friend many, many years ago. Practically he gave up chanting. And I didn't know. And then at some point he said something, he mentioned something to me, and I said, no, I can't, I have to say something. I have to say something. So I preached to him, I impressed upon him, you have to chant. That is Maya's ultimate goal, is to get you to stop chanting. Once you've stopped chanting, she's done it. She chalks up another victory. Maya gets you to stop chanting. Touchdown, home run, Haribo. I got another one. Ding, 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 ding. But as long as you're chanting, As long as you're trying to preach, then you have a chance. Then you have a chance. And I may think, you may think, but Prabhu, I'm so offensive. Never mind. Offensive chanting is better than no chanting. This we learn from the Ajamiya section. It's directly stated by the Acharyas in the purports. Offensive chanting is better than no chanting. Besides, we all start from the offensive stage. There's another proof. Everyone begins chanting from the offensive stage. And then we work our way up. Clearing stage, offenseless stage. So you may fall, okay, you have to start all over again, square one. That's all right. Never forget, many, many years ago, Vaisheshika Das came for Mangal Arati, rang the bell, and he went like this, like a boxer. You know, boxers sometimes do that with their gloves, like he was coming into the ring to fight Maya. I said, yes. That's exactly what it's like. Every day we're getting in the ring, fighting Maya, fighting ignorance, fighting Kali, fighting illusion, fighting this demoniac civilization. We're going against the current. We're preaching. Preach means to fight. So, the purpose here, what I'm trying to do is get us fired up. Fired up to fight Maya, to fight illusion. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you, Archita Das, for allowing me to vituperate. And I'm sure the devotees want to fight with me and challenge and chastise. And I'm really ready. I always say, if you're big enough to give it, you should be big enough to take it. So hit me with your best shot.
Hare Krishna. Your vituperation is very welcome. I think you achieved your goal of firing us up. At least I feel fired up hearing you.
If I can fire up one person, including myself, it's a good sign.
Hare Krishna. There's one point that you made about devotees leaving. And in my experience over the years, one of the reasons why they find it hard to come back is because we don't forget.
We don't what?
We don't forget the things that they did. There's so many current cases that I can mention. I'm not going to name any names. But someone who's on the comeback path and has been for a while and is, in my estimation, doing quite well, you know, just made a comment after one class here. And immediately when I went outside, some resident of this community jumped at me. How could you allow him to say anything? It's too soon. He shouldn't be allowed to say anything. You know, that's the kind of mood that we have towards devotees who try to come back. And this was going on even when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada once said, because somebody had left and was trying to come back, and Prabhupada said, don't tell anybody what this person has done, because if you tell everybody what they've done, then it'll be very difficult for them to come back. But our mood is as soon as we even think somebody has done something, it goes all around the community. We buzz everybody. Oh, do you hear what that person did? I believe it. I believe it. What do you think? See, this is our mood. We don't allow people to come back. We make it difficult for them to come back. We hold on to the transgressions, real and imagined, that they've, you know, done, and then it becomes very difficult. So, I'm just throwing that out, because if we do want devotees to come back, then we have to let go. Forgiveness is one of the strengths of a brahmana. Not to forget, not that we forget, but we forgive.
Okay, Chandrasekhar Acharya Prabhu would like to opine.
I'd like your comment on the following topic or issue. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that no one can help anyone in terms of their material situation. It's almost verbatim, I'm quoting him. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we hear, we see in the folio how Prabhupada signed all his letters, I hoping this meets you in good health, how he was very concerned that his disciples take care of each other when they fell sick, for example. Shrutakirti or Shamasundara tells that story. He was very sick. No one took care of him. And Prabhupada got very angry. So could you comment on this sort of like thin line between strictly sticking to the purely spiritual aspect of our spiritual life, and at the same time understanding that, you know, any devotee's life, whether material, quote unquote, is part of their devotional life, therefore has a spiritual dimension to it, and we see. I mean,
you've already answered your own question. That's it. That's it. In the case of Bharata Maharaj, it was a deer. So there was nothing Bharata could do for that deer. That deer is totally under the grip of the modes of nature. There's nothing Bharata, he's wasting his time. Okay? Now, our movement, and you correctly expressed some examples, if we deal with the material world, the principle is yukta vairagya, that everything has its relationship to Krishna. So, whether it's myself or someone else, I see this particular person's material situation, but it has to be seen in terms of Krishna consciousness. And so, if a devotee needs my help in terms of their material body, then I understand, yes, I want to help this devotee so that they can be more able to serve Krishna with this particular body in this lifetime. For instance, at the beginning of the class, I had everyone pray for my friend, right? But we're praying for this friend or for anyone, not that, yes, we want them to become cured so that now they can enjoy sense gratification. The underlying principle is that, yes, my Lord, please help this person so that when they are recovered, they can continue their service. Prabhupada even asked us to pray for him if he would get sick. And I remember he would say, pray to Krishna like this, my dear Lord, please allow my spiritual master to continue his work. Something like that. So, with that mentality, for instance, you yourself right now are going through a very serious health issue. Yes, you have told me. So, certainly, I will pray for you, bless you, and help you so that you can continue your devotional service in this life. So that's not material. That is yukta vairagya, Krishna consciousness. Is that all right?
Could you comment on the lack of that, which myself, many friends, many devotees.
The lack of that simply means that we're neophytes. That's all. Because a neophyte only thinks me. Whereas an advanced devotee thinks of others. That's an advanced devotee. Prabhupada is the best example. There he is in Vrindavan. He's already famous in Vrindavan for being a genuine sadhu. He's on the verge of 70 years old. Who thinks at the age of 70 going to a foreign country on a boat with no money, no family, no friends, and you're going to start a worldwide movement at the age of 70 by yourself? And who is going to stay in the most wretched place on earth, next to some places of India, known as the Bowery, which I know very well, because I walked the streets of the Bowery, and there's my spiritual master spending practically 1 year living on the Bowery. Why is he doing this? because he is the most advanced devotee. None of his god brothers came over, and some of them want to take credit, but they didn't do it, did they? He's the one who did it. He's the one who had two heart attacks on the Jaladutta. And he's the one who struggled a year in the Bowery, depending on Krishna. For what? So that he could become famous? So that he could have 95 Rolls Royces? He had only one thing in mind. How to save the fallen conditioned souls. This is the advanced devotee. He's not concerned for himself. He's simply thinking how to help others. When Prabhupada was in London, I was in New York, 1977, we had gotten the word, Prabhupada is about to come to New York. We were like ecstatic, Prabhupada's coming. This is probably the last time. Here he is, already he's practically on his deathbed, and what is he thinking? I have to do one more tour to help my disciples. Unfortunately, Krishna said, no, you go to Vrindavan, it's time now. But what was he thinking? I want to do one more tour. I have to solidify. I have to think. He was thinking of his devotees. When he writes his books, you'll notice, he's writing his books for us. Why did Prabhupada open so many temples? For us. Why did Prabhupada do everything he did? He did it for us, not for himself. So the advanced devotee is simply thinking, how can I bring others to Krishna? Prahlad Maharaj's prayer. As for myself, Prahlad says, I have no problem. But I'm simply thinking of these rascals and demons who are rotting in material energy, and I'm scheming and devising so many ways. When Bhrigupati and the others are going out to do book distribution, they're racking their brains how to give this rotten, fallen, puffed up conditioned soul. What do I have to do to get this puffed up rascal to take the book? And they'll say anything and do whatever it takes. For their benefit, they're not getting a salary. They get some rice dal chapatis. And why are they doing that? The non-devotees cannot understand why the devotees are going out distributing the books. It is for their benefit. Compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. But it's not compassion for their material body. We are concerned about the soul. All glories to the devotees who compassionately preach and give Krishna consciousness to others. The greatest welfare workers in society. But you'll never see that on CNN. No, because they're all mudhas. That's all right. We know Krishna is watching. What else? Prem Sankirtan Dasa. Was that all right, Chandrasekhar? Fired up.
You said this Prabhupada verses, and Shravanam Kirtanam is the most important tools to fight against Maya, chanting and reading Shri Prabhupada books.
And association.
With devotees.
Because if on your own, oh, Maya's got you beat by a mile. So we have to stay in the association of devotees.
But I see in my own life, and maybe in others, then it's tendency, if you grow older like devotee, then you have some amount of reading. You read maybe like 5 times Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever, Bhagavad Gita 10 times or whatever. And it's tendency to not read anymore. And this is also good. You maybe hear Prabhupada's tapes, and you know, this was not different, you know, between Bhagavat and person Bhagavat and book Bhagavat. But still, in his lectures, Prabhupada said we should read. And this is not only for new devotees. I guess this is for all of us for the rest of our life. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was the rest of his life. He was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, or all these great souls. So we should follow their example. So is it my question, is it danger actually to stop reading and being just satisfied, or make some excuse, you know, I'm doing something, I don't have time, you know, my health, you know, or we should somehow or other still try to read Srimad Bhagavatam and see.
The best answer I can give, and this will be the last because we're over time and I don't want to get beat up by whatever, but Prabhupada gives this example. The body grows stout and strong by eating grains. We all know Ekadasi comes, we get weak, some of us. Janmashtami comes, we're just looking at the clock. Oh my God, it's only 2 o'clock? We look back, it's only 2:10? It's only 2:11? Right? So we all have practical experience how the body needs sustenance. Similarly, the soul needs sustenance. And Prabhupada writes, you have to read his books so that the soul gets sustenance. So you said we like to listen to tapes. That's perfect. If you're listening attentively, that's the same as reading the books. But reading the books serves two purposes. We're helping ourselves, and by studying the books, we can have ammunition to help others. And see, that's a trick of the mind. Because I've seen this. Oh, Prabhu, I read Bhagavad Gita. Now I want to read these other books. Huh? You've heard that, right? Yeah. But the Prabhupada's books is austerity. Because they're not the kind of books people like to read. They're like textbooks. And they're not, Prabhupada's not writing these books like Harry Potter books. Harry Potter books people read like candy. Prabhupada didn't write his books like that. These are very heavy. Right? You read some passages, it's very, very heavy. This is medicine. So we take our medicine, whether we like it or not. So we just have to tell the mind, hey mind, shut up! Now we're going to read Bhagavad Gita. Be quiet! Like that. And Prabhupada writes, 4 books sufficient for preaching purposes. You're a preacher, yes? So Prabhupada writes, for preachers, 4 books, Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, how well do I know? I don't know every verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't know every word for word. So who am I? I don't know Bhagavad. I haven't realized one verse. And I think I know Bhagavad Gita. You notice how Prabhupada preaches. Immediately he's quoting from Bhagavad Gita. So anyone who thinks, oh, I've read Bhagavad Gita. All right. Can you quote the verses from Bhagavad Gita? Can you explain what each word means? No? Then go back to Bhagavad Gita and study it. And be quiet otherwise. This is what you have to tell the mind. Shut up! We're reading Bhagavad Gita. Until I know every 700 shlokas, word for word, and what it means, and I'm living it, then talk to the hand. Chant Hare Krishna. Please forgive my offenses. I'm a fool and a rascal. That's it for today.